here we are in Daled Amud Beis, and we're trying to explain the thing. No, IT plays around, you know what I mean?
No, it's the mouth.
It's the mouth, yeah. It's the Baal mouth. Not the mouth. Right. So again, we're trying to explain, we're going to start the Gemara again. Amar Avchia Barashi, it's at the beginning of a line. Go across from places he, and move down about four lines. Beginning of the line, Amar Avchia Barashi, Amar Rav. Maim Rishayinim Tzarek Shagbiya Yadav Lamayla. Maim Achroinim Tzarek Shiyashbiya Yadav Lamata. Maim Rishayinim, pick up your hands. And Maim Achroinim, lower your hands. And Rashi will explain it better to me, so we'll learn Rashi. Tanya Nami Hachi. He should raise his hands upwards. Shema Yetzu Amayim Chutz L'Perik. Maybe the water will go out of the perik, means the joint of where Netilat Yadayim has to be. And I said yesterday, we will operate under the assumption that it's the wrist, because that's how we paskin today, because Baruch Hashem, we have an excess of water. We don't have to be stingy on it. And the Yagzeru, they'll come back down, be a Tambo Yadayim, and be Matam at the hand. Zogt Rashi, the Heiliger Rashi. Ma'im Rishayim, Shalifnei Hamazayim, before you eat. Shagbi Yadav, Rashi Edbaisav, his fingers, Shamayim Mishapim Litzadzuraisav, that the water should trickle, or flow, whatever happens, towards, Mishapim usually means flow. I don't know how much water goes down, so I said trickle. Litzadzuraisav towards his arms, well, the Kama Mepharish Taima, later on I will explain the reason. Why? Now the Gemara explains, meaning Rashi said it of the Gemara, the Brisa explains it. Shema Yetzu Mayim, Chutz L'Perik, Miyakzu V'yitamo Se Yedayim. Zogt Rashi, Gizitam B'mesechtes Yedayim. Says B'mesechtes Yedayim. Shetzarech Litnu HaMayim HaYodav Shnei Pamim. So again, I mentioned yesterday that if a person washes with a Revias, this is not necessary. There is a Chumrah, even with a Revias, to wash a second time. But really, if you wash with the Revias one time, you've done the proper Netilas Yadayim, and the water does not become Tameh. The Mishnah here is dealing with a guy who's, of course you have to have a Revias in your cup. If you don't have a Revias in your cup when you start, it's not a Netilas Yadayim. You have to have a Netilas Yadayim, you have to have a Revias in your cup. We're not talking about that. But this person is pouring less than a Revias on his hand. So he has to do it twice. Shetzarech, the Mayim Rishayim, the first pour, makes your hands tahor. And the second pour purifies the water that is still taifchim, meaning is still wet on your hand, that became tameh because of the hand. Unlike a revias, which cures everything, because the water of a Revias does not become Tameh. This is Chazal's Takanas. But less than Revias, the water does become Tameh, and you can't have Tameh hands with the water. So therefore, they Mesakin that you have to wash a second time to wash that water off. Utanan Hasam, Hayadayim Metamis Umetaris Araperik, meaning hands are only Tameh, and hands only become Tahar up to the joint. Notice, Kleber, from the joint and downwards towards the end of your hand, meaning towards the front of your hand, they were geyser that your hands is a sheni l'tuma, upaislus is a truma, and therefore if your hands would touch truma without netilat yadayim, it would make the truma pasul, and it becomes tar when you wash it till the joint, sha'ad ha'perik tzarek netilah. Because up to there is where you need the tila. Past that, meaning your arms are not tameh. Don't worry about your arms. Your arms are fine. You can touch the food with your arms all you want. It was Xavier Rabbanon, for whatever reason, that your hands are considered tameh for truma. And they expanded it that every time you eat bread, you also have to wash your hands. It's Takana Rabbanon. And the hands we're talking about is from the joint towards the end of your hands, meaning either the wrist towards the end of the fingers, or the knuckles to the end of your fingers, to machlokes, but we're not going to get involved in that. We're going to assume the wrist, just to avoid this. And lighter. Yes. Anything beyond your wrist is not tameh. Tumas Yadayim starts at the wrist. And again, I hate to use the word wrist since I'm being not straight, but I'm picking one shita. Anything past the wrist is not a problem. From the tip of the fingers to the wrist is the problem. So therefore, you have to retire that, and that makes the water tummy.
Because your hands are only become
tummy. Again, this is a drabbonu dikatuma. The rice is no such thing as tummy hands. Either your tummy or your tar. The drabbonu made a takana that hands are considered tummy. It's a tuma drabbonu.
Tumas
drabbonu. Tumas yadayim.
Tumas
yadayim. Again, biblical tuma is a whole body. No parts.
Right.
Rabbinic tuma, it can be on part of a body. They came along, for whatever reason, I'm not learning this after school now, so we're not going to go through the reasons. The Gemara Chulin discusses it. But for whatever reason they said it, they said your hands are considered tummy for truma and for bread. That's what they said.
No matter if you've never touched anything.
Again, nothing to do with anything. Now, there is a concept of you can wash your hands, but we're not going there now. We're not learning Hilchos Netil Shadayim. We want to have a Seder in Hilchos Netil Shadayim, maybe a different time and a different time. This is, we're not learning Hilchos Netil Shadayim. Nothing to do with that. Again, I'm not going there.
What?
You can ask whatever you want. I said, I don't mind any questions. All questions are fine. I'm not learning Hilchos Netil Shadayim now. You're not going to walk away from this Gemara knowing the 10 Simanim of Hilchos Netil Shadayim. It might not be 10, I didn't count. The 10 Simanim of Hilchos Netil Shadayim. There's a lot of discussion in Hilchos Netil Shadayim. We're concentrating on one point that this Gemara is concentrating on. Can I finish the Rashi? You mind?
Sure.
Okay. Not Rashi. So, Paisa Mahara tells Rich, I don't know, not to us reshaitim, right? You watch the first ones. That's Hashniyim. And the second ones, what does the Bach say? Chutz l'perek. What if both waters went beyond the wrist, right? The chazuliyad, tairim. And they came back to your hand. It's the hardest, the Chiddush in Rashi, although a lot of Rishonim argue on this, but Rashi holds that if you washed your first time and the water went to past your wrist, 2 inches past your wrist, and then you wash the second time, and it also went 2 inches past your wrist, it's fine. Even if that water comes back down, the water became tar because the second water was retired the first water. Charitir Rashniyim is Rishaitim. Now, this is a little bit fair because according to Rashi, just said it never became tummy over here. So why do you have to even retire it? If it never becomes tummy beyond the wrist, you really don't have to even retire it. Rashi said, you why? Okay, so we'll see in a second. Now Rashi will explain himself. Rashi will answer this question. If you wash the first one and it went beyond your wrist, and Rashi is going to explain not that you poured the water beyond your wrist, the water trickled down from your hand past the wrist, and then you wash the second one up to the wrist. And then the water that was out of the wrist came back into the hand to the other side of the wrist. Tameya. Kleimer. Yatsu Rishainim Chutz L'Perek. You washed your hands, and then the water trickled beyond your wrist. V'alashniyim lehikbet mitluad makam shiyatsu Rishainim. And on the second one, he wasn't makbet to wash it to the place where the first one trickled, right? El Araperik, he only washed it till the wrist, Kimishpatam. The Chazru Arishayim Liyad. Then the first waters come back. The Locha is Tmeya. Shari Nitmu Tchila Machmas Yadayim. That first waters became Tamei because of your hands. Vashniyim Loitiru Asayayitzim. And the second water never purified that, never washed that away. Ilkak Sarak Shagbiya Rashi as Vice of the Milo. So therefore, you have to keep your hands upwards to make sure that after you finish washing your two times, no water comes back from the other side of the wrist. So let me explain this, Rashi. Many Rishonim argue on Rashi. The Mashal says this is not Rashi. It's not in the original Rashis. Because Rashi is saying a Chiddush here. Rashi is saying, what happened is as follows. Now, but the part I'm saying now, everybody agrees to. You washed your hands till your wrist. The first water is tameh because there was no revius. That water trickled out. and went past your rest. Now you wash the second time, and you wash to your rest. So the second time is metaher, the water of the first time. However, the water that's beyond your rest is tamei. It was on your hand, became tamei, then trickled down beyond your rest. And Rashi says, you didn't pour a second time over that to be metaher. Then when you put your hands down, that water which is tamei and never became tahar will trickle back to your hand and be metamei your hand. Therefore, after you wash the second time, keep your hands like this until you dry them, because that way this water will not trickle down and be metamei your hands. The chiddush of Rashi that the Rishonim argue on is that what happens if you did wash the second time all the way to where the water trickled? Rashi makes it sound that that would be okay, there would be no problem. The fear is only that your second washing would not go as far as the first water went. The Rishonim point out that in halacha it's not true. In halacha, the second water cannot be metaher water that's past your rest. It just doesn't work. It won't be metaher it anyway. Even if it did reach that point, it wouldn't help. The halacha that the second water is metaher is only on your hand, not if it's beyond your hand. So the Rishonim point out that even if you did make sure that the second water went all the way past your wrist, but that's what Rashi says. What? No, but they say that the first water remains tamei, even if you poured second water on top of it, as long on your hand, it's metayret. Past your hand, it's not metayret. So then when they say, the Rashi just should have said, maybe the first water will go past your wrist, and nobody cares what happens now, that first water will come back. It can't become tar from the second water. Rashi makes it sound that the fear is that the second water will not extend as far as the first waters did. But either way, right, so the Bashar says this is not Rashi, because halacha is not that way. The halacha is that water cannot become tar past the rest. The tamei water remains tamei. So therefore, they say the other pshat. But Rashi says whatever we have Rashi in front of us. And the bottom line is, putting your hands down after Netilas Yadayim is a problem because the water might be tamei and didn't become tar. You can avoid all those problems if you make sure there's revias the first time. There is no tamei water. So then, theoretically, you would not have to pick your hands up because the water is tahar. There is no tamei water. Some people do it anyway because of the pasuk, Su yideichem kodesh, uvarchu es Hashem. Pick it up. Right. So that's the reason, because Rashi is talking about a person who's not washing with the revias. Halachically, the halacha that you have to keep your hands upwards is if you didn't wash with the revias. That's what we're talking about. Now, b'zman hazeh, baruch Hashem, we have an abundance of water, and people can wash with the revias, and they avoid this whole issue. Again, it still says in the pasuk, su yadeichem kodesh, so people pick up their hands after they wash. That's where it comes from. Yes, doctor. Did not hear you. I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Is there any matzias to the custom of rubbing your hands after you finish?
Yes, but it's nothing to do with this Gemara. Brought in halacha. To
Mechaber. Very good. And is there a reason given, or is that...
Again, without learning Hilchos Matzias today.
So this is curiosity.
Again, all my questions that have me doing God's Sichon Aruch here is also curiosity. It's brought down, yes. You should rub your hands together. After the second time, when your hands are, when the water is tar, do not rub your hands together when your hands are tamei, or your water is tamei.
So I take it if you wash your hands more than two times, that you do it after you've finished with all the water.
Correct. It says Meshav Shiv Yadav, it's a Beferish Mechav.
What happens when he goes past the rest, let's say, and you same towel, to dry that water, and that's also...
Good. In the time when he didn't wash with the revias, this was problematic. Because that water is tamei. But in the time when we wash with the revias, that's not problematic. Because the water is tahar. Our problem with our towels, and again, I shouldn't even say what I'm going to say now, is that people don't wash the halacha, and therefore the water is tamei. So a wet towel might be a problem because the guy in front of you or five guys ago, or all five guys, didn't wash appropriately. It's only tar if you do Netilas Yadayim right. If you don't do Netilas Yadayim right, the water is tamei. Touch your hands, which are tamei, and we're not metiring. So therefore, that creates a problem with wet cups. Wet, I'm not going like because our initial holds all wet, it's a problem. Going like this to Mishnah Berurah, and that it's only a problem because it's tamei water. So if everybody would wash appropriately, there would be no problem with a wet towel or a wet cup or whatever, according to the Mishnah Berurah.
When did one's hand become?
When did that happen? Right now, your hands are tummy. Because Rabbanan made a tekzer of Tumas Yadayim. Why did they make? That took up Ruach Ra. There's two things. There's Ruach Ra and there's Tumas Yadayim. But if you keep your hands quiet, saying from touching all kinds of different things, if you keep your mind on it, I'm not here to learn those steps, then you would not have to wash your hands again. Correct. Abraham Kanevsky did not, according to the book that I'm doing now, they put out this book, unbelievable book, I am advertising it now, from Abraham Kanevsky's on Huggers, from morning to night to Shabbos to thing, everything, a thick book in English, written by his Enikul. Unbelievable thing. So there it says, I read yesterday, that he did not wash his hands before Melech HaMayrav, even though Halacha says to do it, because he was Shomer Yadav. When he washed his hands, he made sure his hands didn't touch anything, and he did not wash his hands. This is what the book says. You can write a letter to the author. That's not my problem. This is what it says he did. He did not wash his hands from Melech HaMayrav. That's what it says. Look, that I can't tell you. I didn't read. This I read yesterday. It's in English, by the way. Makes good reading by breakfast. Valdik and the thing. It's novel just to see. Here's a man, the most novel thing apart to me. Here's a man that from the minute he woke up, since he was 10 years old, to when he died in the 90s, he did everything la-halacha from the second he was up to the second he went to sleep and beyond. And he did, there was nothing he did that wasn't la-halacha. So you watched him, and you could possibly child him just by looking at what he did. There was no mistakes.
But
maybe not. What? I'm asking him, just, to me it's fascinating. Yeah.
Why were you arguing? Just a quick clarification. I said earlier, when you say washing with
the
deus, you're talking about
the deus. No, no. You don't have a reveal in the cup, it's not in the deus you die, no matter what you wash with. You have to have revias in the cup to do Netilas Yadayim. That's for sure. No matter whether you wash with or without a revias, the cup has to hold a revias and have a revias. Now, the cup had a revias. Our cups, Baruch Hashem, can hold 6 revias or 10 revias and that. And if you pour a revias, there's nothing to worry about. If you pour less than a revias, but the cup had a revias, that Mayim Rishayim becomes Tamei. Now, I personally have been struggling with this. How do you wash your hand 2 times and together it's less than a revias? And have it cover the whole hand from fingers to wrist. Now, again, if you tell me it happened, I just can't. Revias, according to Rabbi Yishai, is like 3 ounces. So you're pouring the 3 ounces in 2 times, and each 1.5 ounces a piece, and you're covering both hands twice, because you can use a revias for 2 hands. That means you have 3 ounces of water, according to Ramesha, and you're washing each hand twice, and you with 3 ounces. That means each hand got 1.5 ounces. That means each pouring was less than an ounce. I'm not even getting there. I know. I didn't want to complicate it anymore. I know. The Gemara Mishnah says you can even wash 2 people with a revias. That means you take the 3 ounces and divide it into 4 hands. No, not from a revias, no. Night from a revias, night from a revias, no, it doesn't say that. It's been a last draft for me because I just learned that it was a deal to die in the afternoon, so I know that it says that. It doesn't say that. So therefore, I'm more comfortable, and again, this is my discomfort, that learned if you only wash to your fingers, which is a manchita. So to the fingers, I can at least imagine that this needs enough water to wash twice. To the wrist, again, it's just a practical shaila that I don't understand. The stone of the Gemara remains the same. Yes?
I think it's hands of a very young child, which are much, much smaller.
Could be. Could be. Could be.
The Sesh Rabban only done on Moksi.
I'm
asking.
Wet fruit is a big machlekes. Here we're talking about bread.
It could apply to, I understand the wet fruit.
Okay, that's
but
it.
If I eat something cereal, I don't know, make them. You have to wash for it to make a difference.
No, you don't have to wash.
They
make the takana. You can eat cereal with tamei hands. Yeah. You can eat a dry apple with tamei hands. In fact, the Gemara says if you wash your hands with dry apple, you're about gleiso. No takana. Truma is truma. Yeah. Truma apple, you would have to wash your hands. Chulin apple, they never made the takana unless it's wet. Wet is the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos whether that takana exists today or not. Rashi holds it exists today. According to Tosfos, there's no reason to wash a wet fruit. According to Rashi, you know, I always say this. Rashi and Tosfos' Darim did not look like ours. By Rashi, Seder, he made ruchatz with a bracha ba'amatilos yidayim. He holds you mechuyev to wash a wet fruit, like the Kroah Paskins, and therefore his kadesh ruchatz, the kid did not say you wash your hands without amatilos yidayim, he said you wash your hands with amatilos yidayim. Tosfos holds, there's no reason to wash your hands. So according to Tosfos, they didn't do ruchatz. So when kadesh yachatz, so you have to adjust the song, because you have to fill it in, because it doesn't say ruchatz. So either both Rashi and Tosfos didn't do the Seder like we do it. The reason we do it is since it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, we wash our hands and we don't make a bracha. So according to Tosfos, it's a bracha levatala. So we wash our hands in case Rashi is right, and we don't make a bracha in case Tosfos is right. The Gra did make a bracha. He passed it like Rashi. Now, a whole year round, those who are machmer, there are a lot of people that are, wash their hands with wet fruit and don't make a bracha. The same thing. Pesach night is no different than the rest of the year. Those who are not machmir, same as the Magen Avraham, will pass like Tosfos.
Can you dry the after you wash the food, can you dry it?
Yes, and not long, correct, right? And not have to make a broch. Correct.
No.
Okay, let's go by turn. Achreinim, Rashi, Shalachar Asuda, Shechayv Chachamim Neshemelech Zaymis Yeshem Asamet Enayim. There's a certain kind of salt that there used to be around in those days. That Chas V'Shalom had touched your eyes, it could cause blindness. So they were mechayev people to wash mayim achreinim. Tzarek lahashbo yadav lamata. As soon as you wash mayim achreinim, keep your fingers down. They should teirid hazuma shotavshu shebiyadav shahaver hazuma hei. Now Rashi here just switched. There's two reasons for mayim achreinim. One is because of melech zaymus, the salt. And one is to clean your fingers from the food, from the dirt of the food. So if you're going to put your fins up, after you wash my machoinim, the dirt will go the other way. You want the dirt to go off, so you want to keep your foot, your fingers pointed down. Are you machoiv my machoinim as man hazeh? Is machoinim as rishoinim? Because, Tosfos writes, there's no melech zaymus today, and therefore it's not shchiach, there's no chiyuv my machoinim. So anybody who doesn't wash my machoinim, semech on Tosfos shita, the my machoinim does not apply today. The Rambam paskins the my machoinim is a chiyuv today. The Rambam paskins, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it is a chiyuv. The Rambam paskins, it's not a chiyuv. So those who wash are being machmor like the Shita of Rambam, and those who don't wash are being Simech and Tosfos. Now, the Mekubalim, again, I don't know Kabbalah, but the Mekubalim say that you should use very little water. That you should use very little water for Mayim Achreinim. Why is not the Inyan now? So therefore, Bechsidim, you'll see, they wash the tips of their fingers. They don't wash their whole fingers. Because they're really Simech HaTaisis, but they do it Api Kabbalah to wash my machoinim and only have the tips of their fingers. By the people that keep it Lahalacha, they might use Reb Chaim Kanievsky, according to the book, used to wash a little bit of water, but then he moved the water around his whole fingers. And he did it that way.
Then, so it's not a spiritual thing?
No. Not here, no. Zuma can be a spiritual thing. Here's a physical thing. It's called dirt. Dirt on your fingers. Well, you eat. I don't mean dirt. Food, residue of food is called zuma. you eat, your fingers get dirty. Yes, some people eat some foods before the eyes. Other things are finger foods, they call them. Chicken fingers. Right? What are chicken fingers? You're supposed to eat them with your fingers. So you eat them with your fingers, your hands might get dirty.
What, you eat pizza with a fork?
Anybody even wash? No, I don't have it. You don't eat carbs with a fork. It's one of the favorites. That if you eat carbs with a fork, you don't have to wash. Now, think about it. I'm a Rebbe Vov. Kalaycho pas boy nigav yadayim, kiloycho lechem tamay. If somebody eats bread without drying his hands, it's eating lechem tamay, shenemar, vayoyimer Hashem, kocho yoychlu b'nei Yisroos lachmum tamay. Dr. Rashi. So Rashi learns that it has nothing to do with tumah. It's disgusting to eat bread with wet hands. Talking about eating it disgustingly, and the Navi calls it tumah. Ezekiel bread. That's where it comes from. It's Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel is telling Yecheskel that when they go to Golos, that he should make a bread that they're going to eat when they go to Golos. Disgusting. The way it's made, it's a disgusting bread. And the Navi, Hashem told them, this is how Klal Yisrael is going to eat their tameh bread. It wasn't tameh bread. It was just bread that was disgusting. So you see that the Torah refers to Moz as Tumah. So therefore, Dr. Rashi, what it means is ki'ilu oichol lechem tameh is if you eat your bread in a disgusting way, like wet hands, it's as if you're eating lechem tameh. It's not tameh, the way Rashi learns. According to Rashi, it's nothing to do with tumah. It's a halacha of eating disgustingly. And Rashi's saying, like the pasuk in Yecheskel, Ezekiel bread, which comes from Yecheskel, except they don't do everything that it says in Yecheskel. But Yecheskel writes other things there. They used to bake it on waste material. You can learn Yecheskel yourself. I don't know Yecheskel, but I know this much. So therefore, it's lechem tameh. So it doesn't mean tameh. It means this. That's Rashi Shita. There are Rishayim that learn that we're afraid that you washed your hand. You didn't wash the second water appropriately. So your hands are still tameh. So if you touch the bread, it becomes tameh. Therefore, there are Rishayim that paskin that if you wash your hands with a revius, you don't have to dry them because you wash with the revius, so there's no tamei water, so there's no fear of tamei. But Rashi doesn't hold that way, and the Shulchan Aruch brings the Mefarshim make two shittas in halacha. Rashi holds it's not the real tumah. I don't care how tar your hands are. Wet hands with bread is disgusting. That's what Rashi's saying. We learn Gemara Rashi. So that's what we're learning in Sak. One can learn Hukas Nedil Shidayim and see the different
shittas. More than any other food.
More than any other food, yes. Yes?
Lachmam tameh.
What?
Lachmam tameh.
The Gematria? Thank you very much.
The
Torah. What?
The Torah says it?
Very nice, thank you. I didn't know that. Mr. Burr doesn't, I don't remember Mr. Burr bringing that. But that's the Raya. I didn't see it in Mr. Burr. Right. Don't think of my right. My the Aches ish, never shikara tatsun. There's a pasuk we brought earlier, which we translated that if a person doesn't wash the tilos yadayim, a person does nus at the end of his life, later on, he will struggle to get a piece of bread. That will be his punishment. That's how we ended up translating it. The end of that pasuk says, where's the word? The Eishes Ish, Nefesh Yukara Tatsin. The Eishes Ish will capture a Nefesh Yukara. What does that mean? Now, Yukara means, could mean, haughtiness. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yechonin, Kal Adam Sheyesh by Gassus Ruach, L'soiv Nichshav Be'Eishes Ish. That pasuk means that an Eishes Ish will happen through a person who has Gaiva. A person who has Gaiva will end up living with an Eishes Ish. That's how they're learning pshat in this pasuk. Zokti Chinemar, The Eishes Ish, Nefesh Yukara, a Nefesh who's Gaivet, a Kadi, Tatsun, will be captured. Zok to Gemara, Amarava, Hai Nefesh Yukara, Nefesh Kavoya, mi boyle. The word for Gaiva is not Yukara. The word for Gaiva is Gavaya. Number one, the Eid, he Tatsun, mi boyle. It should have said, the Eishes Ish, Nefesh Yukara, he Tatsun. It captures the Nefesh Yukara. Nefesh Yukara Tatsa seems to say the Nefesh Yukara captures it, not that it gets captured. Elam Arava, Kalabal, Eishes Ish, Afilu Lom B'Tayra, Nechzimba Yukara Himipninim. Even if somebody who lives, and it was an Eishes Ish, even if he learns Tayra, where it says by Tayra it's more precious than diamonds, Mikayin Gadol Shenichnas Lufnai V'Lifnim, Mipninim were darshening from the Kayin Gadol who enters into the inner of inners to the Kachi Kedoshim, he did the Zenu, Ladina Shagahenim. Nefesh Yukara Tatsit means an Eishes Ish will take a person, will take this Nefesh Yukara, which learns Tzaira, the Nefesh Yukara, it's a precious Nefesh, learns Nefesh, Tzaira, will take that Nefesh to Gehenim. Rashi. Oh, we need Rashi. Dr. Rashi. My Eishes Ish. We'll do the questions after Rashi. Save the crowd alone. Could be an Isha Zayin at Kikar Lechem. The same thing from Isha Zayin. Lachy Kaman. The Isha Zayin at Kikar Lechem. The Isha Zayin and Nefesh HaYikara Gvayi Hikta Tadena. It captures it. Right of Achra V'Tzara Isha Magia. He chases the Isha Zayin and captures it. He cuts it by a lane. Given him a save of the Reisha Kedash. Just like Hunky by a little Mikhtav. The Isha Zayin Nefesh HaYikara he cuts it. Isha. The Nefesh HaYikara will capture it. Aba Ashtam Atmish Isha Zayin. Tzadis and Nefesh HaYikara. I translated it a little wrong. Eishes Ish Nefesh Yukara Tatsun means Eishes Ish captures the Nefesh Yukara. We're saying that somebody who's a Magaiva will capture the Eishes Ish. Mikayin Gadol, Nafilu Mamzu Tamachachim Kayin Mikayin Gadol Amaretz. Nuftayach Rishon, Levarach Rishon. I cry, Yafinu Leibawurius. Let's say you have to give a kibbut. You have a Mamzer who's a Tamachachim. You have a Kayin Gadol who's an Amaretz. Who do you give the kibbut to? The Mamzer Tamachachim. Tyre is more precious than Yichas. Kayin Gadol goes with Naiv and Lufnim. He survived. He came out. Tamachachim was bigger than that. Now, the Kayin Gadol was also Tamachachim. Obviously, he's bigger. But Tyre itself is more precious than a Kayin Gadol. No, I don't know. He survived. But he might, even if he survived. Right. Yes, Avram, Rabbi Avram.
What I'm saying is that Gaiva, that's a
riot
that his Torah was nothing.
Well, it's not saying that.
No, but
you mixed two pshatim. The Gemara now has nothing to do with Gaiva. It's saying that if somebody lives with an Eishes Ish, Torah will not save him. He can learn, sit and learn Torah, but he lives with an Eishes Ish, he's a goner. Now, he can do tshuva. But Torah itself, even though the Gemara says later in Saita, we will get to a Mechashem, that Torah saves a person from punishment. That's only in this world. In the next world, Tyra cannot shield them from punishment. That's what the Akhrenim say. So when he gets up there, the Eishes Ish, Avera, will burn right through his Tyra.
Tshuva?
I said, unless he does tshuva. I said that. But Tyra saves some punishment even without tshuva in this world. The Gemara is we can have it later in Saita. But Tyra does not save from punishment in the next world. Now, Tysus discusses, I believe Tysus, that what if he ushered a woman to her husband? Can tshuva work for that? Here's a person that lived with an Eishes Ish, and besides the Isra of Znus, this woman is now forbidden to her husband. Then if Yehuda has a tshuva, and he says he's mechuyav to get mechila from the husband, not, he can't get mechila because it's a verish of another chavera. Imagine having to go ask a husband that you just after his wife and him forever and ask him to be baichu you.
Imagine being
over. Right. So this is a story that Yehuda, that a son-in-law was beside him with his mother-in-law.
No.
Yeah. And the question was, how did he do tshuva? And Yehuda says he has to get his father-in-law to be baichu him. have fun. What can I say? That's all I can say. Shabbos Shalom. Terrible thing.
To reject the first shot.
We reject the first shot, right. Exactly. Yes, Dr.
One of the interesting aspects of that particular shot is that the note of the edit does not say that it's going to take on sign of the point where it appears in place of Torah. So, but he does need to get in the field of
I mean, there's a lot of, that tshuva is a very famous tshuva.
Right.
He goes to what he should do. There's a lot he should do. It's not like he let him off the hook with Mechila.
No, it's telling you which is more difficult in the eyes than that it's more difficult, more harmful to a person to be lax in than it is to go up to a husband who's just severely wrong. Make it explicit.
Again, I don't want to spend time on this. The Yehuda is dealing with two things, the Beit Adam HaMakom and the Beit Adam HaChaverai. Tainas and Sigufim are in the Beit Adam HaMakom part, and asking Mechila from the Beit Adam HaChaverai part. The Yehuda does not insist that he fast. He does talk to fast a lot, by the way, but he doesn't insist that he fast as many Tanei as Rashi's Chachmas as he would fast. But he does. Before he talks about the Beit Adam HaMakom, you got to take care of the Beit Adam HaChaverai. So it's two separate avenues. Yes, he does not require a lot of fasting. He does require fasting, like I think, Bahab for the rest of his life. I think that's like part of what, I don't remember the tshuva exactly. I think he says he should fast every Monday and Thursday. I think he says that. But that's not the point. He's dealing with two avenues. One is, he has to get Mechila Beit Adam HaChaverai. There's no other way around it. You can fast a million times. Unless the guy's moichu you, you haven't done a thing. The second is Beit Adam HaMakom. So the Beit Yehuda deals with both aspects of that tshuva. So he's not saying anything is more important or less important. He's dealing with how the person gets Mechila Beit Adam HaChaverai, right? And how the person gets Mechila Beit Adam HaMakom. You are right. Beit Yehuda is not as good that he fasts the number of fasts as the Beishas Chachmas that he has to fast. That he does.
Your interpretation.
Strange question. Father,
the child has gotten the mamzer child. The Gemara says, again, off the subject, but the Gemara says that one of the things you can't do tshuva for is hail the mamzer.
But does he always, is mamzer child a apology?
I don't know. I don't know if there can be an apology for creating him, but I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. So I think my right time, Rabbi Yechim Shem, Rabbi Shem Bichoy.
Could you repeat again? What do we think that Mishnah Karatzas is for?
In the Havamina?
Yeah.
That about guy that captures the Eishes Ish.
And now we're saying that he captures
them? No, now we're saying that she, by doing the Avera with her, his Nefesh gets captured.
But she's the one, I mean...
Who's capturing whom?
Himself, but she's a really going to be guilty too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But the Maisa, the Averi captures him. Now we're going to spend a lot of Gemara now on the meat of Gaiva.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, Gaiva is not a good thing.
Yeah,
I mean, now, what is Gaiva? We're not going to get involved now, but the first thing that Rabbi Shimon Michoi told us is having Gaiva is like serving Avedizara. The first thing that Rabbi Shimon Michoi told us is having Gaiva is like serving Avedizara. It's an abomination of Hashem, whoever is about Gaiva, referring to Avedi Zara. That it's as if he denies the existence of Hashem. You become about Gaiva. What is the difference between Ivan Avedi Zara and Kaifer? That Achrayim explained, Ivan Avedi Zara believes in Shituf. It's me and God. We're the two controllers of the world. So that's the first guy. The first one, I agree there's a God. I also control the world. We share it. That's why Ibn Abed Zara. Cover B'ikur B'ikur is saying is, he is in control. God is secondary. That's a higher madriga of his denial of reality. That's how the Farshim explained it. Rashi, Ravam Lebevecha, Ma'al Ani Olecha Kilo Shulchachtoi. The Pasuk is saying, if you become a Bagaiva, it's like forgetting Hashem exists. It's as terrible as living with all arayas. All these arayas. Okay? It's a little strong. It is. I mean, it's not strong. By the way, Chazal are real.
I understand, but there's different levels of arrogance.
I get arrogance is arrogance. I'm agreeing there's different levels of arrogance. Right? But trying to say arrogance is not a good thing. Bottom line, arrogance is not a good thing.
164.
They say our Rabbi Apian, when he was very close to 90, walked into a room and they got up for him. And he walked in with a person, his name was Rabbi Kirzner. He was a Rav in Borough Park on 53rd and 16th. He had a show, a massive Talmud Chacham. Anyway, he knew Shas probably Balbeh with Rashi and Tysus word for word. He was a Rabbi Kirzner, was a hard person to say Shtukul Torah to, because if you said Shtukul Torah to him, the Tysus usually tell a person the Tysus, well, he told you the Tysus word for word, so it was hard to tell him. Anyway, that's not the point. So he walked in with Rabbi Apian, and Rabbi Apian was mumbling, Yavis Hashem Kog Valev. So he turned to Rabbi and said, you're almost 90. Are you worried about Gaiva now? So Rabbi Apian said, there's a bomb here that didn't explode, but it's still a live bomb. You stop worrying about it? Gaiva is a live bomb. There's never a point in time that a person conquered Gaiva. So Rabbi Apian, when he was 87 years old, was whispering to himself, Tavis Hashem Kol Galev, Tavis Hashem Kol Galev, when people were standing up for him. So he should remember not to become arrogant. So arrogance is not a good thing, the bottom line. We don't vote positive for arrogance. Unless you're Donald Trump, then you can be arrogant all you want. Right. Ulama akilu bana bama. Ula says it's like building a bama. Stay away from a person who has an ishama in his nostrils. What is he important? Who is he? I'll take you by man and a bama. Person who's a Balgaiva is a bummer. He's like he built a bummer. Meaning, again, if you notice the bottom line, besides the Arias part, it's all saying a Balgaiva thinks it's all his. He doesn't recognize the higher power, or he has less of a recognition of a higher power. Rashi. Look, Rashi. Bummer, Avadis Kuchab. Rashi, Neshamba Ba'apoy. Shemachzik Asmik Bal Nefesh. He considers himself like he's a chashuv, a person, the end of Gaiva. He considers himself chashuv.
What does word chashuv mean? Kiddu,
stay away. Zotik am I right? My yad the yad lo yinaka. At the end of the pasuk, to avas Hashem kogva leiv. It says bameh nechshavu. The pasuk says bameh. What is he chashuv? Bameh. We're taking the word bameh, we're saying bama. The end of the pasuk to have
I was trying to understand something. A person needs to feel good about himself.
Okay, so now you want to have a Moshe Shmuz now, Gaiva.
No, I don't want to do that. The person should just know.
Are you trying to give us moves? Exactly what he's trying to do.
The problem is, in this day and age, no one wants to hear what I have to say, so I'm not going to say anything. It used to be in times before when the shir used to be, my words had some meaning. But that's irrelevant right now. Bottom line is that a person needs to feel good about himself, and you need a little gaiva to give you that.
Chas v'shalom.
Has it shown that you are wrong?
There is a Mandiyama that says a little gaiva, ace of an ace. The Gemara says later, Shemini. But I think it's a mistranslation of the difference between gaiva and self-esteem. You, in your mind, the way you presented it, self-esteem equals gaiva. Not true. Self-esteem is a person should recognize what he is and what he can accomplish. And at the same time recognize that he's nothing in comparison to what he could have accomplished or to what others are accomplishing. To quote somebody who once told me a mashal, and again, I'm not getting involved with this, those who disagree with this, I'm not here to give a shiur on gaiva, but somebody says 7 feet tall, somebody next to him is 5 feet tall, the guy turns to the guy and says, you know, I'm closer to the moon than you are. Right. That's Gaiva. That's how stupid Gaiva is. Right. Ramesha Feinstein was the biggest Anav that I met in my life, that I saw. And at the same time, he knew that he was the Gadlador Pamsak. But it wasn't a stira. In his mind, he could have accomplished so much more that he didn't accomplish. So what? He knows more than the other person. He's responsible to know so much more. So what is he bragging about? But he compares himself to somebody else? That's what you're bragging about? You have to accomplish this much. That other person doesn't have the kaychas. Not mechuyev to accomplish it. So he might be better than you are. That doesn't mean he doesn't recognize that he's the God Lador, that his sack is much more than Yitzchak Margaret's sack. But Ramesh said, Yitzchak Margaret Nebuch never got the kaychas I got. And therefore, he's not supposed to be me. But I'm supposed to be much bigger than I am. So Ramesh had no gaiva. But at the same time, he knew who he was. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu was different, and that's why I'm getting involved. The Mepharshim say it was a different level of thing, but we're not getting about that. But besides that, gaiva means to brag, think you're who knows what because you have it. It's not because of you, it's because Hashem gave it to you. And who says you're using it properly? Who says you're using all your kaychas? That's gaiva. Self-esteem, to recognize, the bottom line is I have kaychas that I have to use to serve the Rabbeinu Shleilam. And I should be proud of the fact that I can serve the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Should I be feel like I'm who knows what? Who made you who knows? Guy's a millionaire. He got $1 million. The Rabbeinu Shleilam gave him $1 million. What are you bragging about? He didn't give me $1 million. He gave him $1 million. So he should be bragging because the Rabbeinu Shleilam gave him $1 million? That's gaiva. Self-esteem is the mindset. The guy has $1 million. Has to realize that he has $1 million. He has to use it to serve the Rabbeinu Shleilam. I hope I explained myself.